London's LBC
97.3. London's LBC 97.3. 0870
9090973. Nick Abbott.
So the Baker line has been suspended. So it sounds like something for bad behaviour. And I don't know about you, but my heart sinks when you go onto the tube and they have those marker boards just before you get on the escalators. And it says, all services are normal. And you think, oh, blimey, is that the best we can do? Anyway, good evening. This is the second from last that I will be here, so let's make it fabulous, okay? 0870 9090973. I know it's an extremely long number, so I'll say it slower. 0870 9090973. There's too many O's in there. One of the O's was me singing along with Liberace. So you just take that O out, and then everything will be fine. I did bring in, as promised, the world's best recipe. If you are throwing... Here comes another O. Oh! If you are throwing a dinner party, you want at least one hit, right? You can get away with a couple of so-so courses if you're going to be serving three. But you want at least one that's going to really super impress people, am I right? Something that people are going to go, wow, did you actually make that or did you buy it from M&S? Do they advertise with us, by the way? No? Good. Their TV adverts make me want to retch. It's not just food. Is M&S food. Like it's a porno movie she's advertising. Anyway, enough of that. So you can get away with soup to start, and then, I don't know, some sort of fish or meat thing, and it doesn't have to taste like it came from a restaurant. But the dessert, that's where it falls soars, yes? It's the last thing that they'll eat, so it's the last thing they'll remember. And a so-so soup. And an icky meat dish will be forgotten if you wow them right at the end. The world's best dessert. I don't know why I'm doing this. I just mentioned it yesterday, and I thought, oh, I'll bring it in. We were talking about food, I think. We were talking about crisp sandwiches or, you know, some exotic delicacy like that. And it just occurred to me that the most successful thing... I know what it was. Recipe books from chefs that don't work, which accounts for almost all of them, except for the blessed Delia, who comes up trumps pretty much every single time. Chocolate bread and butter pudding. You're salivating as I speak. I'm telling you, it's the best thing you'll ever put in your mouth. All right, the second best thing you'll ever put in your mouth. And I'm feeling like Jimmy Young already. Remember Jimmy Young used to have that, I don't know what it was, it was like some sort of radio cartoon character called Raymondo. And every now and again, Raymondo would pop up and said, what's the recipe today, Jim? And Jim would say, funny you should ask that, Raymondo. Me saying that now, it sounds like something out of Jack and Ori. But that was broadcast to actual adults, old ones too, on Radio 2. Of course, they've replaced him now with a robot. Some drone with no personality. But back in the old days, when I were a lad, he used to do a recipe a day, and so I'll do one now. Is there a good reason why I shouldn't? Well, yeah, there's lots of them, actually. And most of them are calorific. There's nothing good in this thing, I'm telling you. I'll just go through the ingredients so you can sit and cook along with me. We'll do it in real time, like 24. You need old bread, chocolate, butter, whipping cream, and sugar and eggs. Like I said, it's the dieter's delight. Is that all we've got so far? A call in Swansea. I don't want to go to Swansea for the first one. Come on, London, where are you? There's 13 million Londoners listening to this show right now. Shall I downscale that? 13 million Londoners are potentially listening to this show right now, and the first call is in Swansea. That's pathetic. I'll wait till we get some London. There was, I'm just going to talk about the smoking thing, by the way. I went to bed without knowing what the result was, and I woke up the next morning thinking that they were going to do some, you know, like a usual fudge. Some sort of, half... I can't say that phrase. Half, help me out here. What's another phrase for the one that I'm about to say?
What are you trying to say?
You know, it's, like, neither one thing or another. It's,
Neither either?
That'll do.
Six of one, half a dozen?
Yeah. and I thought that it's bound to be, oh, you're allowed to smoke, but only if it's raining outside. Or, you know, just one of these stupid things where, you can smoke in a pub, but not with, 1 meter, 1 meter's distance from the bar. Who on earth came up with that? For what possible, are they gonna track the smoke and fine it if it goes over the 1 meter exclusion zone? That was just plain silly. But they did the right thing, and I'm still in shock about that. And there was a little nagging voice in the back of my head that thought, no. Even though they voted for it, they're still probably not going to do it. They'll wheedle out of it somehow. Because the smoking lobby, aren't they called Forest? Stands for, what does the Forest lobby stand for? F-O-R-R-E-S-T. I presume there's two R's in there. Forest are the ash of the non-smokers, right? And Forest... are the,
they're the
pro-smokers.
Yeah.
Do you believe they picked Forest? With all the healthy, beneficial aspects of the word forest. It's green and it's open and... smell the air. Forest. They should have called themselves Wheezing Coughing. They've got an enormous amount of money, and I thought that they're bound to buy their way out of a total ban. I mean, I was convinced of it, but apparently not. But like I said, this little thought in the back of my head was saying, you know what, I bet they still don't do it, or they'll find some way to delay it. Just like they did with the 24-hour drinking, right? He sent text messages, I'm still stunned by this, 10 years later, he sent text messages to students, and the effrontery of that, by the way, saying, vote for me, and I'll let you drink all day, and all night. And they did, and he didn't. Not for years. He kept saying, I'm gonna. It's like a teenager promising to clean up his bedroom. I'm gonna. And finally, he couldn't come up with any further excuses, and they finally did it. Well, here come the excuses on the smoking thing. Have you heard about this? This was from a couple of days ago. I read the newspapers today, and there was precious little in it. So I'm stuck with yesterday's news, which, like I said yesterday, continues to be relevant probably until this time next year. You know, the news comes and it goes, and you read the most shocking things, and everyone shrugs their shoulders and goes, well, what can we do? And everything just stays the same. The total ban on smoking in public places, including all pubs and clubs, may be delayed to give businesses more time to adapt. Now... what manner of adapting do you need to do? You just need to nail a sign to the wall that says no smoking. That's it. Take the ashtrays away and prepare to be able to breathe easily for the rest of your life. Plans for a ban to take effect by the summer of 2007, and why, by the way, does it take that long? Why not right now? Were drawn up when it was envisaged that there would be an exemption for pubs that did not serve food and private clubs in England. The government now... has to draft a complicated set of regulations for the implementation and enforcement of the total ban, working out a set of new penalties. Why is it always with the penalties? You've got to be fined for everything. Penalties for those who do not deserve it, undeserve it. Gordon Brown, the Chancellor, he's the guy with the jaw that unhinges so he can swallow people's heads whole. You know who's first in line. That's right, Two Jags himself. Gordon Brown, the Chancellor, is among ministers who favour a delay in its introduction. Possibly until 2008, or, you know, whenever. Sources close to Mr. Brown confirmed that he was concerned that pub landlords, worried about going out of business, might need more time to prepare for the unexpectedly tough all-out ban. There's nothing to prepare for. You just tell people not to smoke. Everybody not smokes. The end. They're saying that because it wasn't, because there weren't exclusions, because there wasn't this 1 meter exclusion around a bar, and there wasn't an exclusion for pubs that served food, and there wasn't an exclusion for private clubs, then it's much more complicated, and it's going to take much more time to put into place. Whereas, in fact, as you know, I can see, I can hear the sound of your eyeballs rolling back in your head as you stare at the ceiling. Through your radios, I can hear you, I can hear that. Of course it's not more complicated. It's less complicated. Far more complicated to do the silly alternative. For all that ban, it's simple. Just everybody stop smoking. That's it. So they want at least another year now in order to implement this extremely complicated procedure. I knew it. I knew they wouldn't do it. They all voted for it, and they're not going to do it. Mr. Barron, chairman of the Health Committee, said that the important thing now was to implement the ban in the best way. Right. Well, what does that mean? In the best way to... Well, the best way is just to do it. But the best way means prevarication, apparently. Mr. Barron also speculated, this is the chairman of the Health Committee, right? The man who is tasked with looking after our welfare, speculated that as the implementation of the ban could be very popular with the public, are you ready? The Chancellor, who is expected to succeed Tony Blair before the next general election, might wish to postpone its introduction until nearer polling day.
What?
So never mind about our health, it's just all about their popularity. Are we staggered yet? Huh. So more about protecting jobs than actually preventing cancer. I knew they wouldn't do it. I knew it. I was looking forward to actually going out again. I had, apart from coming to work and going down and get the post, which, by the way, is mostly stolen these days. I'll read that out later. I've very rarely ever go out with good reason, because you come back and your clothes are so stinking of smoke that they spontaneously combust when you put them in a pile on the floor. I knew they wouldn't do it. I knew it. This is LBC 97.3. We're going away to come back.
London's LBC 97.3.
0870 90 90 973.
Nick Abbott. Yes. Right, let's go. Is my mic on? Can you hear me?
He's down here.
I can hear nothing of my own. My own mouth. Is this? Is there anybody out there? Can you hear? Just stop looking panicked and nod if you can hear me. I'm on. Okay, great. Here's Swansea, which is in West London, and a bloke called Robert.
Yo, mate, you want some jelly deals with that?
Nothing would give me less pleasure.
Hello, Mr. Abbott. How are you this evening?
I'm all right, mate.
I've moved to Wales tonight, you see.
Good for you.
And, I mean, I've just come from the pub. I just realised, 24-hour drinking, why don't they extend their licensing hours? 11 o'clock, throw-out sign, pathetic.
Well, I think you have to take that with your local publican. It's got nothing to do with the government anymore. They let every... I think it's down to your local council and the individual chap behind the bar.
Is there a central database or something where you can check what time's pub
shut? That's an excellent idea. I tell you what, somebody's going to make £1 million. Somebody should get a website and, you know, you can look up your late night chemist on the web? Somebody should do a website where you can look up your local late night pub. What an excellent idea.
Well, it's copyright RFTR. Nobody else can have that.
I would get on it, mate, because students particularly will be keen to find out.
Well, I thought it was really... I tried looking on the council website, just pathetic.
You know what? And I had forgotten that it had happened, because I haven't taken advantage of it yet. I've been shouting about it for years. Why is this country, you know, why are we treated like babies, and we all have to stop drinking at 11 o'clock, whereas we go on holiday to Spain and France and, you know, anywhere in the world apart from you know, the sandy areas.
Bournemouth.
And, you know, you're allowed to act, you know, in a casual manner in regards to booze. But finally they did it. I haven't taken advantage of it yet. One of these days I'll leave the flat.
I wouldn't bother. Pubs are open.
Yeah, I know. Outside is rubbish, isn't it?
Oh, trust me, the old chavs around and things, this is a nightmare.
Well, you're in Swansea. What do you expect?
How dare you? The beautiful area does offer charity.
Well, I say that as someone who is wearing a shell suit as I speak.
Yeah, surely not.
Absolutely, yeah. It's the most comfortable. I'm not meeting people.
Were you wearing that last week as well? You change your clothes, Nick.
Well, I wash them, but once you've worn a shell suit, you seriously don't want to ever wear anything else. Because it is the most comfortable thing. It's got it's like an old man's clothes. You know, old men used to buy their they used to be called action slacks, and he used to be in the back of the newspaper, back of the Telegraph. They probably still are. Nylon action slacks with elasticated waists, right above the adverts for shoes for $29.99, made from a product that's never seen the inside of an animal.
The only person I've ever seen wearing a shell suit is David Icke on Wogan. Very fetching it was as well.
Everybody wears shell suits now. Are you joking? In Swansea, particularly Swansea, Glasgow, Manchester, London. London, not so much. It's funny because I spent a year and a half living up and down the country in Glasgow and in Cardiff, Leeds, and you don't see a person under 30 wearing anything else. But you come to London and you hardly see them at all. Builders wear them, right enough. But ordinary people walking around the street, it's almost like it's just not the done thing down here.
I really have never seen somebody wearing a shell suit. Your definition of a shell suit must be different to mine.
Well, a track suit, you know, like a logoed track. What is it? What's the difference between a shell suit and a track suit?
Track suit's more less baggy, isn't it?
One's shiny. Yeah, I think a shell suit is just like a nylon outer with or without a cotton inner. Yeah? And it's got elasticated waist, and there's nothing more comfortable. You can eat till you puke, and you still... All right, let me rephrase that. I'm sorry. You can eat until you're replete. How's that? Better?
Slightly better.
and discomfort is not something you have to worry about. They're great. Have you ever worn one, Lucy?
Probably in my youth, yes. My slobbing clothes, I call them.
Exactly, yeah. Adult pyjamas. I wear them inside the house and nothing else. You know, as a younger person, I used to care deeply about how I looked, like leaving the house. You know, you'd spend about 3 hours in front of the mirror, and, you know, you'd be insistent on wearing the absolute latest fashion. You'd take a ruler to your flares to see that they were the requisite width. And, you know, you make sure your hair was licked in just the right way. These days, I go out, I'm like Elton John used to be. I've got food all down the front of my sweatshirt, and my hair's sticking out like I've had an electric shock, like I've just been tasered. I look like a drunk who's just been tasered most of the time. And, you know, coming in here, all I'll see is, and I don't mean to be offensive when I say this, is you, Lucy.
Well, I'm sorry about
and
that.
And Gary the Engineer. And engineers, let's face it, they're not the most sartorial of types, are they?
No, it's Alex.
I'm sorry, Alex. It must be the three panes of glass between me and you. But does that alter the answer to my question?
I forgot what it was.
Anyway, we dealt with you, Robert.
Let me just say, to anybody... Oh, let me just say this point. Real ale, much better than rubbish the old... commercial stuff.
No, you're talking to Londoners now. We only drink lager, mate. Lager. This is LBC 97.3. I'm Nick Abbott. And first call was in Wales. It's not the only call in Wales that I've got on the board either, but that would be ridiculous to go back to Wales again. And now I'm having trouble with this. This machine does not like me. Can you put three through for me? Because I can't do it. Let's have one in Bayswater, Raimondo.
Yes, that's right. I get called that sometimes now by people, that I know.
Is there a pig in the room?
No, I had a bit of a funny thing up my nose, but never mind.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, you're talking about smoking.
Yes.
There is an exemption, but it hasn't been mentioned at all. Private transport, i.e. minicabs.
Did you just say?
Private transport, minicabs.
Right. That's not what you said first, though, was it?
private hire.
You said private?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Was that a funny thing up your nose as well?
No, that was just to, emphasize what I was trying to talk about.
Right.
But private hire, i.e. minicabs, haven't been mentioned unless it comes under a place of work.
But the bloke who's driving is working.
Yes, but does it count as a place of work or a tool of his work? Because in an office, you need tools to work in some cases. For example, typewriter, computer, pen.
Typewriter. Okay, hands up people who work in an office who work with a typewriter. Can anybody even remember what they look like? Seriously, how did we used to manage 20 years ago? Can you even begin to imagine how it used to be without the internet, without mobile phones, when you typed something and you had to put that correction paper? Do you remember? Or that stuff that came as white paint?
I think it's an improvement as to what's happened, though.
What is?
Using the internet.
Well, you've considered all of the alternatives and all of the respective merits of typewriters and the internet and computers, and you've come to the conclusion that?
I use a mobile phone for texting where I can, because you can't guarantee the post these days. My wife's been waiting for 10 days for a letter that's been posted to her, first class.
Right, well, tell her to hold her breath.
I don't want her to do that. I don't want to lose her.
Does it contain money or anything valuable?
No, it was a get-well card.
A get-well card? Oh, they're probably nicking that too.
It wouldn't surprise me what they do.
You don't sound like a person who would do a lot of texting, or even own a mobile phone, or be able to, identify one in a lineup.
I just know the type of phones that I like, and I know how to work it.
Well, now you're just boasting. Here's a man who uses a typewriter who knows how to text on a mobile phone. I suppose you know what WAP is, too.
WAP, W-A-P.
Oh, yes, WAP is WAP is something
else.
It
happens, I do.
Oh, no, what a dreadful mistake. I do apologise. WAP, you're quite correct.
I can tell you what it means if you want me to.
Go ahead.
Wireless Application Protocol.
Is the correct answer. I'm just saying, I've got no idea, but it sounded good.
A lot of people underestimate me sometimes.
why do you think that is?
Because I look a lot younger than I am. People take me for 20 years younger sometimes.
You sound like, I don't know, we're stepping into dangerous territory now, but you sound like you would be a small person.
Correct.
I don't mean comically small.
Well, you're not far off that either.
But petite, can we put it like that?
That'll do fine.
Cute.
Sometimes.
Like, a pet.
No, not that small.
Not that small. Right.
See how near you can get.
So not that small. How about this big? Somewhere in between?
Yes, I've been compared to a comedian size-wise.
But not for material.
Not material-wise, but size-wise.
Right. So what do you do for a living, or did you do for a living?
Well, I've had 2 or 3 jobs. I used to work for a newspaper.
A newspaper?
Yes.
Not a journalist?
No, inside. I used to work for the civil service.
Oh, blimey.
And my last job, before I got arthritis, which stopped me working, was private hire driving.
Right. Well, the roads are safe.
They always have been. The accidents were never my fault. I was always stationary.
Right. Clunk, click, every trip. This is LBC.
Nick Abbott.
Right, where are we at? 29:45. Oh, fill for 30 seconds. Oh, that's easy. I can do that. Our phone number is 087. That would be ridiculous to stretch that, wouldn't it? I tell you what, I was a bit remiss yesterday. I'm going to give away some of my own money. I'm going to play the game. Who's this? Oh, I've got a fader.
I've got about seven
of these. Some of them are so easy. Who are they?
Available off DAB Digital Radio.
London's LBC 97.3.
London's LBC 97.3. Nick Abbott.
0870 90 90 973. Can I try line two, please? You'll have to do it for me, because I know that everybody else seems to be able to work this machine, but it does flat out not like me. Here's one in Llanelli. Hello, Rob.
Hello there, Nick. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thanks.
I'm glad to hear. I should say, I would have said I was from Reading, as it's my hometown, except for when I heard you were so keen to have calls from Wales, I decided to say where I was actually based at the moment.
Can I request that we have no more calls from Wales? This is getting embarrassing.
I tell you, from now on, I'll say I'm from Reading, which is the truth, essentially, I guess.
I don't know. Is Reading in our, It's not really, is it?
Oh, I can get on digital radio, DAB, so...
Oh, does that count? Yeah. You can get us on digital radio. You can get us on Sky, on whatever it is.
You got a job in the pipes as a plugging man, Nick.
Anyway, what's up, Rob?
I was going to call up and just say I'm just out this evening. I'm not going to be in for actually this evening, you'd be surprised, but for my 21st birthday.
Is today?
Evening, in fact.
Hey,
they
great.
Are. Very nice. Some sound effects there, but well lined up. Yeah, it's this evening. I've just been across to a restaurant with some friends, and now going off to go out to a club in the city. So I give you a call just from out in a pub.
It sounds like you're quite sober.
At the moment, yes. It's been a quite quiet night, because I don't usually drink, so I didn't want to go mad and end up passing out before about 10 o'clock.
Right.
But we're yet to go to the club we're going to. Shall I name it? I can name it. It's called Barons. I'm heading across towards Swansea, where I'm going to university, but it's the sort of place that's so unpopular, the bouncers throw you in.
This kid's got material.
Yes, right.
Barons, how are you spelling that? B-A-R-R-E-N?
B-A-R-O-N-S.
Right, glad to hear it.
Yes, that's true. It's a very interesting place. Possibly barren of any class, but the is place it, itself is called Barons.
Is there a sign outside that says no shirt, no shoes, no service?
I haven't seen one, but you never know. I'll have a look for you this evening. It's a kind of a £5 all-in place. It's going to be interesting.
What? Yeah, is that not free drink included, surely?
I have no idea. It's going to be the one of the times I've been there, so...
Because if it's free drink included, then you're going to be playing hopscotch over puddles of,
I went to one of these free drink included things before, and they give you a very small plastic beaker, and you have to go up to the bar with the same plastic beaker and get it filled up. Lager, whichever.
Right, well, that's a very good idea, because, you know, people of your age are out of control when, not just of your age, just of anybody, any age. A free bar is a recipe for disaster.
I was also told, when I phoned up, just to mention that I've hired a local celebrity, or two local celebrities, I guess you could say, to join me in my night out.
Right, well, I think I probably don't want to know.
Well, one of them is, I think he works as a very minor role on some, BBC station or something similar. Simon Harry, he likes to be called.
You mean an actual local celebrity? Somebody you've heard of?
I think so. I'm sure you know the other very minor celebrity, but I won't bother naming him.
Hello!
Right, okay, this is beginning to sound like student radio, isn't it? But I do wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
And try not to die before the night's out, all right?
Can I just for the sake of having a sound clip, could I just have a happy birthday message?
Well, can I play a happy birthday tune?
Or you could just say it so I can carve up and use it on my show when I,
Yes, absolutely. Is the tape rolling?
It is rolling.
There you go. This is 97.3 LBC. I'm Nick Abbott, and, we're all going to die, apparently. That was what the news was. The bird flu is on its way. And if that doesn't get you, then the 25 metres of water that's coming our way is you'll either be drowning or sneezing yourself to death. So let's have a party. That bloke was right. We should all be out partying like it's the end of the world, and we feel fine. Here's one in Southgate. Oh, that one worked. I did that one myself. Oh, is Colin? Hello.
Hello, mate. How's it going?
Not bad.
Slight problem. So you know who do you phone up? But Mick, of course.
Mick. Well, he wasn't available, so he called me.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Went shopping today. Been thinking, you know, the old underwear is getting a bit old and tired, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so grey.
Great, let's go TK Maxx, get some nice cheap underwear, you know?
Without mentioning any brand names, TK Maxx.
Yeah, yes. That's right. Oh, no, they won't be proud of this. So, you go in there and there's, you know, all the other members of the general public wiping their hands all over the T-shirts and picking their noses and all this kind of stuff, as you do.
Always wash an item of clothing that you buy before you wear it. You don't know who's tried it on.
Well, funny you should say that. What I particularly wanted was some pants.
Pants.
So...
I don't know, there's just something intrinsically funny about that word. Does anybody use that anymore? Pants?
Briefs?
It's a term of abuse now, isn't it? Briefs is probably more of the moment, yeah.
Two-button boxers.
There you are, you see. Now he's got it.
Yeah, but I touched the box. The problem is, right, you go and you find the ones you want on the shelf, and you find the box, you know, it's been opened or it's been ripped at the top and they're hanging out, and, you know, you go to find one in the right colour and the right size and the right type that hasn't been opened or damaged, you know?
Yeah, because you're,
human. And there's about...
Picky. Persnickety, yes. Like me.
There's 200 boxes of these. Every single one of these boxes has been opened. Every single one. So it's not just like... people must, like to get these boxes and open them up, break open the seals, have a look inside, and possibly do something to them, I don't know, and then put them back. Do you hear what I'm saying?
I am hearing what you're saying, and I've got a vivid mental image of exactly what it is that they're doing.
Well, the worst thing is, it was getting on, it was about 5:30, and I wanted to get back, so I bought 4 boxes of them.
Of pants?
Yeah, which have been opened.
Right.
And they're kind of sitting over there on the... settee, I can see them now, and I'm starting to think, do you hear what I'm saying?
Well, don't eat them.
Well, no, I wasn't going to, but, I mean, you know, bird flu might be one thing, but whatever's on these, I mean, what have people actually been doing to them?
Well, nobody tries on pants before they buy them, surely. You can't.
Well, no, okay, they're not trying them on, but why do they open them, and what's happened to these? Are they safe?
Safe. Well, like I said, you want to boil wash them before you... No, never mind about what it says on the label. I'd put them in the microwave, actually. That's bound to cure whatever it is that ails them. And you. In fact, maybe you should put them on and jump into the microwave. Do you think you'll fit?
Oh, I'm quite thin, but... might be worth a go. Maybe just like a hot bath or something?
A hot bath? With them on?
Well, I mean... I don't know, but it's kind of not all that tempting now.
Right. Well, like I said, don't take them internally, all right?
I'll try not.
Has it come to this? We're talking about pants. Not just pants in general, that bloke's pants. Yesterday was such an intelligent show, wasn't it? Well, comparatively. So anyway, didgeridoos. Was that where we were? Is that a call in the Lake District? Is there a single person in London that's actually listening to this show right now? 0870-9090-973. 13 million people are sitting on their hands while the rest of the country is calling its face off. A bricklayer brandished a didgeridoo at police when they were called to a disturbance at a seaside town, a court heard yesterday. Oh, is this a case that's finished? Here's a tip for people on the radio. Always zip to the end of the story, and if it says the case is continuing or something of that type, stop reading immediately. Because in this country, apparently, judges and particularly juries are incapable of making up their own mind if they've heard someone else talk about it. Isn't that incredible? What a silly system that is. In America, you can do an entire TV program about cases going on at the moment. I mean, talk show hosts, that's what they do all the time. Because people over there are expected to make up their own mind. But here, as usual, we're treated like stupid people, and we have to be mollycoddled and pointed in the right direction without any outside interference. So nobody in the media is allowed to talk about anything that's happening in court. I just think that's daft, don't you? I mean, if they are 12 men and true, men and women, then maybe you should pick better subjects if they're incapable of hearing one side of an argument and being swayed by some dope on the radio, making a joke about it. Isn't that silly? I mean, if they're that flaky, then they shouldn't be on a jury in the first place. And if they're not, if it's not a jury trial, then what business is the judge, sitting there in his silly robes and daft wig, if he's going to be swayed by a DJ? It's just daft, isn't it? Anyway, I think this has already been taken care of, so we can talk about it at our leisure. Ryan Jones, 23, ran at the policeman with a 4-foot instrument before being sprayed with CS gas and handcuffed. And there's a picture of the didgeridoo right there. It, of all the things in all the world you'd lay your hands on if the police are beaten down your door in order to repel them, a musical instrument from Australia is probably bottom of the list. He was drunk, no kidding, half naked and covered in blood after fighting with a flatmate. Wow, it sounds like a 21st-year-old's birthday party already, doesn't it? After this bloke admitted a charge of a fray, his defence lawyer said, if one were to compile a list of items to take up to commit a fray, I would have thought a didgeridoo would come somewhere near the bottom. He did not strike any police officer at all. He said the trouble started when Jones and his mate returned to their flat after a drinking session. They came to blows after Mr. Davids mentioned Jones' ex-lover. Ah, right, see, blokes are all like, oh, you're my best mate, when at the beginning of the drunken part. It goes in stages, doesn't it? First you talk about football, and then suddenly you're all chummy, and it's Brokeback Mountain breaking out all over. You know, up to, but not including the part in the tent.
I really love you.
It's the only point at which men can actually communicate with each other, other than by grunting. There's this point at drunkenness that's preceded by talking about football and followed by all-out fighting. But the bit in the middle, it's almost like we're, just for a brief period, it's like being a woman. You can actually communicate like a real human being instead of like an ape scratching itself and, you know, grunting. Anyway, they got past that point, unfortunately. The breaking point was the mention of the man and his former girlfriend, right. The prosecuting counsel said that when the officers arrived at the flat in East Sussex, I thought it was a polite place, Sussex, apparently not. East Sussex, you see, it's the east part that's the problem. When the police officers arrived, Jones armed himself with a didgeridoo and shouted, I'll bad wording have you and any copper who dares to come in. I mean, you don't alert the police that that's what you're going to... If you're going to do that, don't tell them beforehand. They're carrying weapons themselves. He continued to shout in a similar vein, swinging the didgeridoo at windows. They did not smash, but bowed a little. How weak do you have to be that you can't smash a window with a 4-foot stick? Police sprayed captor gas to try to disarm him, but he persisted. He proceeded out the front door and started threatening the officers with the didgeridoo. Officers told him to put it down, but he continued. Eventually he was sprayed with captor gas again, and he dropped the didgeridoo. He was lucky that he didn't do this in America. Dick Cheney would have shot him in the face. Jones was ordered to complete a 12-month community order and do 180 hours unpaid labour and pay £150 prosecution costs. That's an excellent idea. We throw too many people in jail for piddling little things like this when they should actually be scraping chewing gum off the pavement in bright orange overalls, am I right? Sentencing him, the recorder Ian Wilson said, this was clearly a very unpleasant experience for those who had to attend the scene. Well, any scene with a didgeridoo is a very unpleasant experience, as anybody who's been at Glastonbury and seen Rolf Harris will testify.
LBC 97.3
0870 Nick Abbott. Okay, so at great expense, I'm offering you the game. These are a series of famous people. I think I've got about 8 in all. If you can tell me who all 8 are, I will go out with my own money, propelled on my own 2 feet, to a shop and buy the present of your choice. That's right. Conditions apply. The presenter's decision is final, and no communication will be entered into. Who are these people? And that was one person. And I'm not cheating, by the way. These are super famous household names who appear on the TV or the big screen all the time. Now, that one's so easy. It's just like giving this away. He has an autobiography coming out shortly, apparently. And it will appear that the entire book is just that. Him saying... The problem for the ghostwriter is how do you spell that? Anyway, there's a few more, and I promise you, I will... Not LBC's money, I'll spend my money. You just have to tell me who each of those people are, and if you get it wrong, then you go away. But the people who follow you will know what the right answers are, and so it will gradually become easier. Yes? Doesn't that sound great? 0870 9090973. But you can't call up and just play the game. It's like Chris Tarrant has a little chit-chat beforehand, right? Because otherwise it's just too mercenary. You just want my money. If you want my money, come over to my place and, you know, ask me for some spare change, please. But we'll have a chat. It'll be nice. We'll sit down, have a cup of tea, you know, some crumpets. And then you can try and extract some of my own cash. Here's one in the Lake District. Hello, Rob.
Hi there.
Rob.
Hello.
What's up, Rob?
Hi there. Sorry, we were just calling up. We're in the Lake District.
Is it raining?
No, there's snow hills all around. It's been snowing last week, but the weather's pretty similar to London, actually. We drove from London earlier from the East Coast. We left at around 11:30. It took 4 hours to get here, and the weather was exactly the same when we got here.
It's like another world when you get there, isn't it?
Well, I have friends in Carlisle, and I would have thought it was like a different world. However, when we got here, it's pretty similar to the London suburbs where we came from.
The Lake District?
Yeah. Well, Carlisle's what, 20 miles north?
You know what, I haven't been to Carlisle. I've just been to Lake Windermere. Around about Lake
Windermere. Tomorrow. We only arrived this evening, so.
Right. Sounds like you've got a party going on there already.
No, that's not a party. That's my partner, in fact, screaming with excitement because he's listening to me on the internet, on the radio, on the internet.
Right. Well, you want to tell him to calm down a bit?
Scott, you need to calm down a bit.
He'll have a,
He's out of control. It's the excitement of being in the North, you see.
Yeah.
He spends far too much time in the South East.
He'll have Well, maybe I should wait till after 12 before I say that word. But, just tell him to calm down, or shut up, or get out, or, promise, you'll tell him that you won't marry him, or, you know, any of the above.
Quite. What was the, that story you were talking about, that didgeridoo earlier?
Well, you want me to repeat that?
Well, no. I heard it in quite enough detail and still didn't get the gist of it. But I was bought a didgeridoo for my 21st birthday by my cousin.
Right. What did you do with it?
It's stuck in the corner of my bedroom collecting dust. But with it came a guidebook of how to do the breathe. Because it's a circle of breathing, isn't it? You've got to breathe out through your mouth and into your nose at the same time, and your lungs are constantly sort of...
Yeah, how is that possible?
It's sort of a one tone, but it's how much pressure you put through it.
It's way more difficult than chewing and walking at the same time, right?
I think it's like, rubbing your belly and tapping your head or something like that. But the book made it no more easier even.
I mean, second only to the bagpipes, it's got to be the worst sounding instrument in the world, isn't it?
I think it's way above the bagpipes.
I mean, you see crusty, but when you go to, festivals like Glastonbury and Stonehenge, as was, of course, they banned that.
I'm from the West Country originally, actually.
And you'll see people who don't look like they're, on speaking terms with soap, who'll be sitting there with a dog on a string and a didgeridoo in front of them. And you think, of all the instruments in all the world, you picked one that was 6 foot long.
And the closest they came to going down under was more down and out.
Right, I'll do the material, eh?
Okay, no. And bird flu. How do you stand on bird flu?
Well, either it's one of these things that they're just trying to scare us all the time, like they're trying to scare us about the weapons of mass destruction, and scare us about the imminent threats, and scare us about this, that, and the other, in order to keep us in
the Millennium Bug and chip and pin thing.
Exactly. The chip and pin thing. Oh, blimey. They went on and on about that, didn't they? They said...
And the material they produced, all these little credit card-sized cards you meant to give every customer with their receipt.
The newspapers just before the chip and pin day was... chaos predicted, and you know, the amount of times you read the word chaos, and just like the millennium bug, and just like all of these things, you waited for it, and nothing happened. Just like the 24-hour drinking, nothing happened. In fact, they massaged the statistics, so say some, in order to make it seem as though it's people were even better behaved. Huh. Of course they wouldn't massage the statistics, I'm sure they were legal, decent, honest and true. And the statistician that said lies, damn lies and statistics was, oh, I don't know, he must have been drunk at the time. But, yeah, I don't know whether it's one of those things, whether they just, it's like the mail. Every day with the mail, the sun is, the sky is falling. I don't know if it's one of those things, or whether we're actually all going to die.
Working in retail, and they say that you haven't got the option to pay, you know, have to pay by chip and pin, you can't enter your signature. The checkout systems haven't changed whatsoever. You can still select signature, and people can still sign.
Is that right?
The till system will still work. I guess it's just the banks don't insure the companies because it's all about fraud, isn't it? You know, they won't guarantee, they won't honour anything that's done by a signature. It has to be done by a tin or... Otherwise, he's saying I shouldn't read the Daily Mail. Yeah, we were just saying that.
And well, you particularly shouldn't. You nor your boyfriend should be reading the Daily Mail. Are you joking? Have you read the Daily Mail? You shouldn't be reading the Daily Mail. I don't think they're, I don't think they're approving.
Well, I don't know if they're not. Daily Mail, if you've got a hangover, maybe. It's sort of easy reading with lots of pictures.
Well, it'll clear your mind, that's for
it's
sure.
It's like a flick book.
Okay, anyway, best of luck, mate. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Hey, do you want to play the game before you go?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, of course you do. Who's this?
Have you got time to explain the rules?
Yeah, the rules are as, see our website.
All right.
Basically, you just have to tell me who's saying the word now. That was one bloke. Super famous household name. Who's that?
John Virgo.
John Virgo.
Actually, with the clue, no, maybe not, but...
Shut up.
That's the best I can do for you.
Oh, it wasn't good enough. 0870-90-90-973.
Nick
Abbott. Okay, would this be a good time to read out the recipe, what I have brought in with me specially for this occasion? Are you ready? This stuff, I'm telling you, if this isn't the best thing you've ever cooked... then you can request your money back. Chocolate bread and butter pudding. Here's what you need. This, by the way, is apparently taken from... I got this from the internet. In people were coming to dinner, and I had some soup, I think, and fish, and... you know those things. You go to a restaurant and it seems simple enough, and when it arrives, it can taste fantastic. And then you do it yourself, and it tastes like wallpaper paste. You might as well have scraped out the bottom of the bin and plopped it on the plate. And so when you are entertaining at home, you always want one thing that is beyond great, right? People will say, wow. And remember it, and clean their plates, and actually mean it. Because there's this... you put the plates down, and there's this pregnant silence. Until the mmms come. And you're eating it yourself, and you know it's rubbish. But they're just being polite. And then there's a crescendo of politeness, where each one has to out mmm the other. And so they break out from mmm into actual words, like, oh, and... this is delicious, they say with a straight face. And meanwhile, you're trying your best to keep it down. Or to stop laughing out loud, as happened to me once. I was still in the kitchen, and this chorus of mmms were coming from, and I tasted what they were eating. And I couldn't come out of the kitchen because I was laughing so much. It was hideous. But the dessert, that's what people actually want to eat, right? They want to eat chocolate, and they want to eat it right now. And so if you can come up with a chocolate dessert that's going to blow the tops of people's heads off, then you will be forever in their debt. And this is the thing to do it. And it's so easy, you'll be stunned. You'll think, this isn't anything. You'll be mixing it and thinking, no way is something this simple going to be any good. And it's something you can make before as well, because you don't want to be sweating your face off in the kitchen while your friends are in there chatting amongst themselves, helping themselves to your nuts. So you want to have all the cooking done before they get there, right? And this is the very... You can cook this the day before. How's that? Uh-huh. And one of the ingredients is something that you would ordinarily throw out. This just gets better and better, doesn't it? You need 9 slices of thick, good quality white bread, a day old, taken from a large loaf. Are you writing this down, Lucy?
Yes. I love a good recipe.
This is not a good recipe. This is the best recipe in the world ever. I'm not kidding. Once you've made it for other people, you want to make it for yourself. It's good hot, but it's also good... I think it's better the next day when it's cold. It's very, very filling. So, if you make it in these quantities, there will be some left over for you. And you'll be waking up in the middle of the night thinking, ooh, you know what? It's in the fridge. Chocolate bread and butter pudding. I mean, there's something about that that doesn't actually sound that nice. Bread and butter and chocolate. Trust me, this is the best thing that you will ever... Well, probably with the exception of that last bloke who was on the phone with his boyfriend. It's the second best thing he will ever have put in his mouth. Oh dear, I've gone too far. 0870 90 90 973. Me and the recipe will be back after the new news, which is coming at ya.
Available on DAB Digital Radio. London, LBC 97.3.